Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Final week of the season, week 17 here. Taping, full disclosure, we're taping the day after Christmas. Everybody is home. We are not in the usual podcast studio, so forgive us if you hear bizarre noises in the background. But as always, I am Jimmy Trader, joined by Mitch Goldich and Gary Grambling. Fellas, happy holidays. How you doing?
You're home? I came into the office and the studio for nothing? No, I'm good. I'm in the PJs, nice and relaxed at home during the holiday. Feeling good this week, Jimmy.
Gary?
I'm wearing sweatpants atop sweatpants here.
Well, since we're all home and this is week 17, let's try to plow through this quickly and get the people here what they need before heading into the final week. We will run through all of the games, 8 1 o'clock games, 7 4:25 games, Sunday night game, no Monday night. So we'll get it rolling right now. Here we go.
Well, we should. Are we going to start with our records from last week?
Sure. Yeah.
I want a little bit of time to complain that I was 0-2 on Saturday. I had the over in the Texans-Bucks game, which looked great when I had two pick sixes in the first 2 minutes, and then they called one back for penalty, and then I can't believe that game hit the under. And then I lost the Patriots-Bills game. I knew it was going to happen. As soon as the Patriots scored, you knew that two-point conversion was going to hit, and then they would hit the over 6.5. So 0-2 Saturday, but I rebounded with two wins on Sunday, finished the week 2-2. Not horrible, but a little bit of a frustrating week for me. How'd you guys do?
I was 3-1. I had the Chiefs, Cardinals, Ravens as winners, and I lost an over. I believe maybe Raiders Chargers was the over that I lost.
Raiders Chargers, yeah.
Mitch, how about you?
Mitch gave
his. Gary, how about you?
I'm going to get mine. No, I was 2-2. Underestimated Sean McVay. A great game plan on Saturday night there in Santa Clara. And look, my fault for putting trust in the Dallas Cowboys. That's a game they never should have lost, and yet they found a way.
Gary, yeah, we've just learned that Jimmy doesn't actually know the difference between our voices, and in the office he just has to look at us and see who's talking and see whose mouth is moving.
It's pretty true, actually. We'll see how it goes here for the next hour or so. All right, now we can get to week 17. We kick it off in Buffalo. Bills playing for seeding, giving a point and a half to the Jets. The total is 36.5. The seeding must not be too important if the Bills are only giving a point and a half at home to the Jets. Gary, get it rolling.
No, it's a Bills playing for nothing, right?
Right? Yeah, they're locked into the five seed.
Oh, I thought you said there was seeding on the line. Okay. That's my bet.
Bills playing for for the New York State title or something. All right. Even though the Jets.
So it's a meaningless game, and the Bills are given a point and a half, total 36.5.
Yeah, and look, for that reason, I will I'll lean Jets here on this one. I think the Jets are trying to save some face down the stretch here, which is fine. They had a weird schedule this year where they had a chunk of really difficult games followed by a chunk of really easy games. And I don't know, if your embattled coach can point to a 7-9 record, that's an accomplishment for the Jets. As far as the Bills go, I mean, look, I know Sean McDermott is he kind of said like, oh, we're going to play our starters and maybe a little bit of Matt Barkley too. So I would expect, they'll send Josh Allen out there, probably do some quick strike stuff. Kind of like what they did in the preseason where they just kind of told him, like, you're not allowed to run. Just go out there and work on pocket presence, work on ball placement here. And, for that reason, I think it's an experimental week for the Bills, and the Jets can probably go up there and steal this one. Their defense is still playing hard at this point.
Mitch?
Yeah, I feel the same way. McDermott kind of played coy about it, but I think it's obvious that he's going to pull the guys, especially in cold weather. Like, it's one thing if it's nice out and it's fine to go out there and run around, but I just think in a cold weather, like, get your stars off the field, get them in, like, the big coats on the sidelines next to the heater, and I think that's what we're going to see from all the important Bills. And like you said, Gary, we knew going into the season that the Jets started off with a really tough schedule and it got easier and they might be better in the second half. Obviously, they were without Darnold, but I think they should feel pretty good about themselves and the way that they've fought. They've probably saved Adam Gase's job. I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be a surprise if he got fired. But to me, they've won 4 of the last 7 and they can finish strong here. You'd think he gets another season there. So I just, it's so hard to pick so many games this week where you're trying to guess who has motivations and who doesn't and everything. But in this one, I'm going to pick the Jets to win the game straight up in our staff pick 'em. Just that I think they have a lot more to play for.
I'm not a fan of betting meaningless games, so for me this is a hard stay away. I'm only going to go on games here that mean something in Week 16. Speaking of which, the next game does mean a lot. The Saints go into Carolina as 13-point favorites over the Panthers. The total is 47. Mitch.
Yeah, this one is tough. I mean, the spread is just really high at 13 points. I think the Saints right now are playing like the best team in the NFC, and the Panthers are playing really terribly. You know, you try and figure out which teams are just ready to pack up and quit and call it a season. Looks like Will Greer's job is just to give the ball to Christian McCaffrey, and I think they'll want to do that a lot this week and get him some numbers. I think he still has the 1,000 season on the line. I know last week he hit the – he's got a new milestone every week, but last week it was the – two straight years with 100 catches, but I don't know. I can't imagine they're going to do much else. I hate betting spreads this big, and especially in this kind of week where you just don't know what's going to happen, and who knows if the Saints are even like scoreboard watching and decide that they can pull some guys late if they're up big and give up a backdoor cover. But so, you know, this is not one I'm going to actually bet, but I think if I have to pick one, I lean Saints just because they're so much better and they're going to be more motivated. But 13's a lot, so it's probably a stay away from me. But if you make me pick one, I would go Saints.
Mitch? I mean, Garrett.
It's never going to get old. Yeah, I really don't like any of the sides this week, but I probably like this one the best. The Saints, they can't really scoreboard watch because they're dependent on what happens Sunday night. So it's like, you know, and Sunday night, obviously, with the 49ers and Seahawks, that's not a game where you can kind of be like, oh, well, obviously, you know, this team's going to win unless it's a big upset or something. So I'll lean Saints pretty heavily, and I'll probably best bet them for the sake of best betting one of the sides this week. They are 12-3 against the spread on the road the past two seasons. In games this year, they've actually only had three road games where Breeze has played throughout, and they've scored 98 points combined in those games. So that's math says that's what 32.7 points per game. So if they're going to put up something in the, let's say, high 20s, we'll dial it back a little bit. I don't know. Is Will Greer going to have multiple touchdown drives or multiple scoring drives against the Saints defense? Considering one, you know, he's not really ready for NFL action, and two, I mean, this offensive line is quietly really, really bad. They couldn't block the Colts' sort of kind of crappy pass rush last week, and the Saints are a whole lot better up front. So, you know, I think this one might get out of hand, especially with the fact we've talked about it on the show a couple times that the Panthers are just kind of checked out post Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I love the Saints here. I think with them playing for something and Will Greer, that's a good combination for a blowout. The Saints, when they've struggled this year, have done it against teams with good offenses. The Panthers' offense, when Will Greer is behind center, is not a good offense. You're laying less than the two TDs. Love the Saints here, given that. And, you know, that Sean Payton, Drew Brees, that's a veteran team where they want to end that season in a big way. So I love the Saints here, given the 13. The next game is a meaningless game. The Browns are giving a field goal in Cincinnati to the Bengals. A very disappointing year there for Cleveland. The total is 44.5, Gary.
You know, I do like the Browns here. I kind of just wonder. Look, I think Freddie Kitchens is coming back just because I just don't think the Haslams have it in them to go one and done with yet another coach here. So if Kitchens is coming back, and, you know, I know everyone loves watching those clips of various players, Odell and Landry yelling at Kitchens on the sideline or whatever it is. Those aren't necessarily, you know, without knowing exactly what's being said, those aren't necessarily, you know, unique instances and conversations. I think as bad as things are in Cleveland, and they're bad, I think they're not quite as, I don't know, unhappily dysfunctional as you might think. So, I don't know, maybe it's just whatever. Avoid 10 wins, go out, win your Battle of Ohio here, and move on with your lives, and let us
you know, move on with ours.
Yeah, basically, it's you know, pretty close to a pick 'em game anyway. So, I'll lean Cleveland,
Mitch,
here.
Yeah, I lean Cleveland too, for similar reasons. You know, I was trying to like just visualize the game. I could see it going either way. I could see Baker just slinging it everywhere and having everyone look at this game and just be like, hey, where was this all season, and why are they doing it now? Look how much potential they have. And then I could also just see another afternoon with those, you know, sideline arguments. And Gary, I agree with you. That happens a lot on losing teams. And I know people like to, you know, pick on certain teams that are under the magnifying glass a little bit. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Bengals are 1-14, and I know that their offense, I guess, has been better with Andy Dalton, but, you know, they're 1-14, and you can't pick a team like that to win. So, you know, it's only a 3-point spread. I think this is one you hold your nose and you pick the Browns here, and you just bank on them being more talented and being the better team.
Yeah, I would think the Browns would come out here after that disappointing season and try to end it on that high note, but I don't trust Freddie Kitchens at all, so I would stay away from this game for sure. Next game, the Packers playing for seeding, coming off a big Monday night win, giving 12.5 points in Detroit to the Lions. Total is 43.5, Mitch.
Yeah, this is another tough one where it's just a big spread. I feel like a coward saying, I don't know, and stay away, but it's hard to know what to think here. I mean, the spread, I think, is too high, but the Lions are so bad that I could talk myself into it. And I think we've seen the Packers a few times this year. They've gotten ahead early in games and then let teams back into it. So, you know, I could definitely see a situation where they get up by 13, 14, 17, and then the Lions score garbage time. This, like, screams backdoor cover. But again, you know, imagining David Blau bringing them down the field for that cover is a little bit tough. And, you know, I just haven't been impressed by them. They started hot, the Lions, but the last, like, 10, 12 weeks, they just haven't been there. So for me, again, it's another stay away. But if you make me pick, I think I would talk myself into leaning Packers.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'll lean Lions ever so slightly. Division opponents, I mean, there's less prep work that goes into that. Obviously, we saw the Lions have a good night in Lambeau early in the season back when Matthew Stafford was healthy, which changes things. But I think they can, you know, I think they can hold the Packers to, you know, low to mid-20s, and then it just, you know, like Mitch said, you get a garbage time touchdown drive late to cover this spread. It's absolutely meaningless for the Packers at that point. So slight lean here just because I don't think the Packers can just run away with this one. I don't think it's a 35-point game against the Lions, even though the Lions will hand out 35-point games like no one's business.
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe it's not a 35-point game for the Packers, but I don't see the Lions doing much on offense at all in this game, so I actually like the Packers a lot. I think this is a, you know, 27-10 game here. Yes, you worry about a late backdoor, but again, it's the Packers and Aaron Rodgers playing for something against David Blau. I'll lay the points. I don't care about home road here. Rodgers doesn't get affected by that going into Detroit. So I like the Packers here. Next game is in Kansas City. The Chiefs giving 8.5 points to the weirdo Chargers. The total is 45. Gary.
Yeah, I really want to like the Chiefs here, and I was close to best betting them. I'll probably back off just because the Chargers have given them problems the last two meetings. Obviously, last year, the Chargers went into Kansas City and won that Thursday night game outright, and they played the tight game in Los Angeles earlier this year. It was a 24-17 game in the third quarter, and then it just sort of held that way for the Chiefs down the stretch. The Chiefs, I mean, look, they are 6-0 straight up and against the spread when they have their full complement of offensive players, and by that I mean Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and their offensive line intact. You know, they've lost. They went without Eric Fisher and Dr. DuVernay-Tardif for a little bit this year. So 6-0 with a plus 17 point per game point differential with that full lineup, and that's I mean that they've been the best team in football when they have all the players healthy. So definitely lean Chiefs. I will probably stop short of a best bet, though, just because I think the Chargers do match up with them well.
Mitch?
Yeah, Gary, you're referencing that Chargers-Chiefs game from 2018, which had one of the best octopi of all time, Mike Williams at the buzzer with the touchdown and the two. You can Google SI.com octopus, and you'll see what I mean for those who are not already following this stat that I love. I'm all in on the Chiefs here. I think they are great right now. The offense is healthy. The defense is playing really well. And they're really motivated. So I think the Patriots are going to end up with the 2 seed because I think we all expect them to beat the Dolphins. They do have a chance to get the two, but even if not, the three seed is really important to them, because if you get the three, you avoid the Bills in the first round and you avoid the Ravens in the second round. I think all they want is that rematch in Foxborough. And if you get the three seed, then you just have to win against, you know, either, I guess, the Titans, Steelers, or possibly Raiders. And then you get that game in the second round. So it's a big game for them. And I just think the way that they're playing, they're so much better than the Chargers. I'm really feeling good about how they look going into the playoffs. And so anything under double digits, I'm fine laying 8.5 points here. And I think I'm probably going to actually best bet them too, even though the spread's more than a touchdown. I love them here. Can't say enough about it.
I'm in major conflict here because I love the Chiefs. I bet them every week. I've told you every week that Patrick Mahomes is actually underrated and not getting the attention he deserves. But they're playing the Chargers, and I have a policy where I'm not betting Chargers games anymore, so I'm torn.
It's your last chance, though.
But I will, yeah, listen, I'll give the Chargers one more chance to burn me, and I'll go Chiefs. They're just playing at such a high level right now. It was interesting that Mahomes obviously had a little motivation against the Bears there when he showed off the 10 fingers where the Bears passed him over in the draft. So they're motivated. The way they lost last year against the Patriots, I think, is in the AFC title game, has them wanting to finish strong. So the Chargers are always there to burn you. But it's 8.5. You know the Chiefs are going to score. Defense is much improved. You know, you could get burned here by a little last game for Phillip Rivers is a Chargers type of thing, but I'm going to go Chiefs, just too much talent for KC. The next game, the Bears go into Minnesota. Vikings are 1-point favorites. The total is 37. Game is meaningless. Vikings are locked into the sixth seed in the NFC. So who knows who's going to play, who's not going to play after the Vikings come off that Monday night loss to the Packers. Mitch, what do you got?
Yeah, this is a weird one. Am I remembering right? These two teams played Week 17 last year. Because every year you go into Week 17 and there are teams that have to win, playing against teams that don't have to win, and there's always one that ends up screwing it up and losing a game that doesn't mean anything. And I know that was the Vikings last year. I think it was to the Bears, and then that's why the Eagles jumped into the playoffs and ended up then beating Chicago the next week. So it would have been interesting to see if the Vikings had won last week, Monday night against the Packers, and then this game did matter for them to see if the Bears could get, I don't know, any weirdo reverse jinx, meaningless revenge. I don't know if any of this matters to anybody. At the end of the day, though, I think the Vikings are going to sit people. I like them. I have thought all year that they were underrated, and I think I was higher on Minnesota than a lot of people, but the Dalvin Cook injury and the Madison injury, that's definitely concerning. I mean, we saw Monday night was really low scoring game. I think this is going to be another low scoring game. I thought about betting the under, but 37 feels a little bit too low. This also just kind of feels like such a Bears thing to do. You know, you're already out of the playoffs, and to just win this game, not that, you know, it's all relative when you're talking about draft position, and I think it's different when you blow the number one pick or you exit the top five or whatever, but it feels like a Bears move to win this game and go to 8-8. And beat their rival in a game their rival wouldn't necessarily care about losing. I could just kind of see them bouncing back and finishing strong. And, you know, Nagy has had a tough year and people are talking about them, but he does get creative on offense. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them sort of pull out all kinds of the trick plays that they've done in the past and have something special, figuring, you know, there's no reason to save anything for the end of the year. Let's do it. So I could see them having a little fun and you know, some trick plays. They like, you know, throwing to defensive linemen at the goal line or things like that. I don't know. I think we can see a fun game from the Bears, and I'll pick them +1.
Gary?
Yeah, and I mean, plus the Bears don't have their first round pick, so they have no reason.
That's an even better. You're right,
one.
Khalil Mack trade. I didn't even think of that. Thanks.
And I think there is a pride point here for the Bears as far as finishing 500. And as we said, this is a meaningless game for the Vikings. So. You know, they went into Minnesota, that was week 17 last year, Mitch, and it was probably Mitchell.
Thank you.
That's my holiday gift to you, Mitch. Mitchell Trubisky went into Minnesota, probably had his best game of the last two seasons, except for maybe that game against the Bucks, where the Bucks just refused to basically play defense, and he rolled up big numbers, even though he didn't actually play that well. So yeah, I'll lean Bears pretty heavily here. I think Nagy probably does like the idea of an 8-8 finish, and you know, I don't know if you're not gonna if you're trying to sort of save face here, and look, the Bears have been worse than the 7-8 record that they have right now. They've obviously caught some breaks. They got no Matthew Stafford this year. They might have lost both those Lions games otherwise. And you know, they had that game gifted to them out in Denver early in the season. I mean, this could have been a total disastrous season. And I think if they can end up pointing to, hey, you know, we didn't even play well and we went 8-8, I think that's something that they will play for in this one, and therefore yeah, they'll probably go out and win this one.
I had to look up who the Vikings backup QB is in case they decide to maybe only play Kirk Cousins for a half, and it's Sean Mannion. Mm-hmm. So this is a hard stay away game for me. You don't know if the Vikings are going to try and then that's the guy who comes in, so I will not be giving any opinion on that game because who knows what the Vikings are going to do.
I was going to say, Sean Mannion has a meaningless Week 17 track record. He started for the Rams. Right. It was either last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, but Bears defense is good, so I don't know. I wouldn't play with that game, that's for sure. Next
they
game,
should have started
Patriots.
Johnny Hecker in that game instead of Mannion. No offense to Mannion.
The Patriots are laying 16 points to the Dolphins. Patriots obviously playing for seeding. Gary.
Yeah, I think on top of playing for seeding, boy, I think Bill Belichick, I don't want to say he hates Brian Flores, that's overstating. I think he is still, you know, you read between the lines on all the, I don't even know if you have to read that hard between the lines on the quotes he's given, sort of in relation to Flores, and Flores poaching all those guys from his staff, and I think Belichick's still pretty pissed about it. And I mean, look, there aren't a lot of teams where you'd say, like, oh, Patriots can run a bunch of points. It's just not who they are this year, but I think they can run up a ton of points on a young Dolphins defense. So many just young and at this point not very good players in that secondary. I think this is one where they can, you know, they can score 4 or 5 touchdowns if they want to. And last 3 seasons here for the Patriots in Week 17, each time they were playing for seeding, 38-3 over the Jets last year, 26-6 over the Jets 2 years ago, and they went down to Miami at the end of the 2016 season and won 35-14. So, again, I know the number is big for a Patriots team that just hasn't been good offensively this year, but I think they can cover this.
Mitch?
Yeah, it's basically a playoff game for the Patriots because if they win this, they get the bye. So it's like they have a win here is in lieu of having to play wild card weekend. If you figure they've got to win 3 games to get to the Super Bowl, this is the first one. I actually, so Gary, I agree with a lot of what you said, but I feel like you made my case for me in some ways. Talking about the and we've talked about this all year with when the Patriots have a big spread, that it's just hard for a team with their I don't know, limitations, whatever. They've had a tough season on offense, and they're just not the type of team that you think of that's going to get up big on people. And now you're saying that you think they can anyway against the Dolphins. And we've also talked about the Dolphins with big spreads earlier in the season that we were seeing this every week, where they'd be, you know, 13, 16, 17 point underdogs. And they covered for a while, and now they're playing much better. They've actually won some games. So again, you know, I think they can hang in. I expect the Patriots are definitely going to win this game and wrap up that 2 seed, but the Dolphins have been competitive enough, and I don't know, even, I mean, it's tempting to think about Bill Belichick running up the score, but you'd also think maybe he would want to sort of save some plays, for the playoffs. They're not going to waste, you know, if you're up by 2 touchdowns, you're not going to waste, a great play when you could save it and use it in the playoffs. I see the Dolphins keeping it close, and 16's too much. So I'm happy to pick Miami here.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I actually like the Dolphins here. I would never think that because, you know, the combination of Brady and Belichick are usually my betting system, but 16 is so high. And the way the Dolphins play these games and Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, you could just, you know, it's week 17. I could see that Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing 50 times in this game. I mean, you can be down by 23 points, get a backdoor touchdown, and end up covering here. If, you know, 2-point game. They'll be. It's going to be a weird game, I think. And the Patriots just, they're not equipped to blow teams out, even the Dolphins. I think it's, you know, Belichick doesn't play that style. They try. You know, in the fourth quarter, when you think it's run out the clock, they may do, you know, throwing to James White out of the back of this. But I don't think the Patriots are equipped for, like, a 41-10 win here in this game. I actually like the Dolphins with the points. It's kind of crazy to say. All right, last of the 8-1 o'clock games is completely meaningless. The Falcons go into Tampa Bay to face the Bucks. The game is a pick'em. The total is 48. So it's not completely meaningless if you like to watch Jameis Winston throw interceptions and then throw ridiculous touchdown passes. But in terms of real NFL stuff, it's meaningless. In terms of train wreck television, it is not. Tampa, Atlanta, pick'em, total 48, Mitch.
I love the line. I love that this game's a pick'em. I don't know why. These two teams are just, you know, they're on a roll. They're two teams that have gotten hot after slow starts. And, man, I've spent the whole season complaining about the Bucks, and then I finally went back on that and said that I liked them last week. I think that I lean Falcons here, though. They're going to finish 7-9 if they win this game, which is 6-2 after the bye. They're just on a roll. They're playing really well. Again, this is one of those, if anything could happen, nothing would surprise me in this game. Either of these teams winning by 17 wouldn't shock me. But just to pick them the winner, there's something about the Falcons and the way that they've played. I thought they were a good team going into the season. I think I picked them to get to the playoffs. Not that that's a reason to pick them now, 17 weeks later, but I just think we've seen them play at a higher level over the last 8 weeks, closer to their talent level than a lot of people expected. And I just think they're a good enough team that, why not? Let's see them finish 7-9, with a strong end. And, you know, I think they can beat the Bucks.
Gary?
Yeah, and obviously with all the Bucks' problems stopping opposing passing games, this figures to be a pretty good matchup for Atlanta. I honestly almost don't have a lean. I will flip a coin and I guess lean Bucks with the home field, even though I've pointed out all year they don't have a great home field advantage down there in Tampa. So I know I'm kind of contradicting myself, but mostly I just wanted to disagree with Mitch at this point. The reason you watch this game is to see if Jameis will throw the two interceptions and become the first 30-interception quarterback since Vinny Testaverde for the Bucks back in 1988. And that's across the league, not just the Bucks. But,
and he'd be the first member of the 30-30 club. Right.
Oh, yeah?
I think
wow.
That's what people, yeah.
There you go. There you go. They gotta get some the old Jose Canseco like special edition card after the 40-40. They got to do something like that with Jameis. I will buy that football card. But it's tough to figure this one out. But I will give a slight lean to the home team here in a pick 'em.
I don't have a lean on this side. I do like the over a lot. You know, Mitch said nothing in this game would surprise him. I agree, except for one. The only thing that would surprise me is, you know, like a 17-13 final here. I think you'll see points from both teams. So I do like the over 48. You know, Jameis pick sixes and touchdown passes galore. They did not go over last week against the Texans.
That was one of my best bets. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
I thought they would, and then they stopped scoring in the fourth quarter.
So considering how they've gone over like almost every week this year, I'll jump right back on a Bucks over there and go over 48. All right, that wraps up the 1 o'clock schedule. We now turn our attention. No 405s here in week 7. Every game 425, 7 of them. And let's get to that and start it right now with the Steelers, who have a shot at the 6th seed. So they're playing for something. Going into Baltimore, they're 2.5-point favorites because the Ravens are not playing for anything. They're locked into the 1. Steelers minus 2.5 in Baltimore, total 38. It is Gary.
Yeah, it's too bad the Ravens clinched last week because I did want to see Lamar get a second shot at the Steelers defense here. I thought that was his worst game of the season when they went down to Pittsburgh. They did win in overtime anyway because of the Steelers quarterback situation. I mean, look, the Ravens have absolutely no reason to put anyone on the field, especially since they left last week's game against the Browns so banged up by the time it was over. I just think the Steelers end up, I mean, whatever, winning this game, you know, 17-10 or something like that. I don't think Robert Griffin's gonna put up any points against the Steelers defense. So, yeah, I'll keep it simple. I'll just go Steelers here, since the Ravens would be crazy to play any of their starters for significant snaps.
Yeah, so I agree, and not just playing their starters. I also think, like, you know, if a couple of the Ravens got hurt, like, let's say they had to turn to RG3 for a game in the middle of the season, that's not necessarily a death sentence, and I could still see myself talking myself into them. But I think also their scheme is going to be so vanilla. Like, Harbaugh has had such a great season, and we talked about Greg Roman and Wink Martindale and how they've been this innovative team and everything on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I just don't think there's any reason to do any of that in week 17. So, you know, I'm sure they have some RG3 plays, and, you know, I don't know what the package and how much they've spent preparing for that. But again, it's like, even if you have to play him in week 17, you might as well save that, because, you know, you get into the playoffs and maybe you have a situation Lamar gets hurt or something, or has to come out, you know, has to go to the blue tent or something, and you've got a series with RG3. You don't want to have shown your stuff on tape. I just think they're going to be so vanilla, barely even trying to win. I mean, the guys in the field are going to be, you know, pushing people and trying to win. But to me, I just think it matters so much more to the Steelers. The Ravens really have nothing. So beyond just sitting guys, I just think, you know, spreads under a field goal, I think this is an easy pick for the Steelers.
Disagree with both of you. Love the Ravens.
Wow.
I'll give you a little throwback, Mitch, that you'll appreciate, because this was a line I used on the podcast a lot early in the season. I haven't gotten much to it lately, but Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph have no business in the NFL as starting quarterbacks. They are terrible. I think the Ravens will be motivated to keep the Steelers out of the playoffs as a division rival. John Harbaugh tries to win preseason games. So I think he's going to try to win week 17. They can run their offense with RG3 and be effective. They're going to sit a lot of starters, there's no doubt. I just think the Steeler offense is so bad, and I think the Ravens at home will be motivated to keep Pittsburgh out. I don't think John Harbaugh gives up on this game. I think he tries to win it with what he's got on the field, and I think the Ravens win the game. So I like going against both of you. That always gets me excited.
Jimmy, how do you feel about Paxton Lynch, who might get some action in this game?
I think they're going to go RG3. I really do.
No. Paxton Lynch for the Steelers.
Oh, for the Steelers?
Mason Rudolph is out, and so if they pull your boy Duck Hodges, it'll be Paxton Lynch. So since you don't think Hodges or Rudolph are NFL QBs, I want to know how you feel about Paxton. You don't have an opinion.
He's not as bad as those two, I guess, but that's not saying much. All right. Next game is in Dallas. The Cowboys trying to save their season, need help. 11-point favorites at home against the Redskins. I mean, personally, I would have rather not previewed any of this game and games, and we could have just spent an hour ripping Bill Callahan for not going for two at the end of last week's game, but I digress. Especially since I had the Redskins +1.5, so if they make the two or lose the don't get the two, I win my bet. But yeah, 3-11, let's play for overtime, you big dope. All right, Cowboys -11. With the Redskins coming in, 44.5 is the total, Mitch.
So, I mean, you said the Cowboys need to win. I think 11 is too many here. The Redskins, and we can talk about everything and the 2-point conversion and everything last week, but 11 just feels like too many. You know, we've seen them play close games. I mean, you know, the Giants stink. But before that, the Redskins had close games against the Eagles and Packers. Jimmy, we talked about quarterbacks you don't like, and I believe Dwayne Haskins is on that list too.
No, he's not on the list.
Oh, he's not. I thought he was earlier in the season. Okay, I thought he was earlier. I'm wrong. No. That's fine. Well, anyway, he's not playing. It's now Case Keenum, and I think you could. I mean, I get why they played Haskins, because he's a rookie and you want to give him the experience and get him out there. But you could make the argument that Case Keenum gives them a better shot to win or to be competitive here in the year 2019. So him starting might actually be helpful, as opposed to plenty of situations where you'd see a backup quarterback and you'd want to bet against that. You know, I think the Cowboys are going to win. They need to. They're the better team, even though obviously they've had some clunkers and they've lost some games that they shouldn't have this year. But 11 just feels like a lot for a Redskins team that I think is going to be motivated to come out and win this game and has played better. And I was surprised the spread was so high. So I'll lean Redskins.
Gary?
Yeah, I was going to say it's it's. I really wanted to bet the Cowboys on this one. I really wanted to make this a best bet, and I just can't. Maybe after last week, I just can't quite bring myself to do it. I mean, look, they have. They're 4 wins at home. They've been so up and down at home. I mean, they're 4-3 at home, but their 4 victories are by 18 points, 25 points, 27 points, and 23 points. They've also lost by double digits to the Packers and to the Bills, and it's just been it's been too weird a season to bank on the Cowboys now at this point. My guess is they will probably. I also kind of usually back off of division rivalries too when the spread is big. But so while my guess is like the Cowboys will come out and win this one like 30-13, I wouldn't bet it. Never again. Never again after last week.
I like the Redskins. I'm with Mitch. I think the line is too high. I actually, where I disagree with Mitch a little bit is I think I would have preferred Haskins. I think. He was bringing a nice little element to the team there, improving each week as a rookie. You know what you're going to get with Case Keenum, but I think the line is high. I don't think the Cowboys are that good, and I think you got to take the points here in this one. Redskins have been more competitive second half of the season, so I'm on Washington there with Mitch. Next game is in Houston. The Titans go into Houston 3.5-point favorites. Total is 45.5. I'll let you guys break down what's at stake here when you make your picks. Gary.
Yeah, the Texans can still get up to the 3 seed in the AFC. They need to win this game, and then the Chiefs would have to lose to the Chargers. So, you know, they will probably run their guys out there. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, even if the Texans were playing for something, this would be a Titans favorite in this game. It would not be, but... The Texans just haven't been very good this year. And on top of that, no Will Fuller. We've seen over the years when Will Fuller is out, this is a different offense. They lack a big play element. On top of that, I mean, look, the defense has been bad all season. Obviously, we've seen Ryan Tannehill put together a nice year. But with kind of, again, it's not literally nothing to play, but it's very unlikely that they are going to get a benefit out of this, and the benefit would be jumping from the 4 seed to the 3 seed. So, with virtually nothing to play, do you want to go out there and tackle a well rested Derrick Henry for however many carries he's going to get in this game? So I like the Titans here. I think they're going to win this one somewhat easily down in Houston.
Mitch,
well. So, Gary, I will disagree with you on a couple things not related to this game. But I said this earlier when we were talking about the Chiefs. The difference between the 4 and the 3 seed, I think, is really important in the AFC this year. Because you avoid the Bills in the first round. You avoid the Ravens in the second round. So I think that does matter. But the weird thing here, I think the NFL generally does a good job with the Week 17 schedule, making sure that the teams who are scoreboard watching and depending on other outcomes play at the same time. It's strange. The Chiefs play at 1 o'clock. So if the Chiefs win, then the Texans are going to know before this game kicks off that their game is meaningless. So it's while right now we know going in that it could matter and they could jump up to the 3, they're going to know at kickoff that they might be locked into the 4, in which case I think they would definitely pull guys. And maybe they'd pull Deshaun Watson, who we know has done a better job staying healthy and avoiding hits this year, but has taken a million hits over his career, and you wouldn't want to risk injury to him. Will Fuller, if he is able to play, you know, you'd think that you'd sit him just given how the troubles that he's had with injury. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them pull guys if it ends up not mattering at all, which it very well could. And then, you know, your analysis of the Titans, you know, they're a good team. I think they are deserving of that 6th seed in the AFC and have a great shot to lock it up this week. So I definitely go for the Titans, especially just knowing that, you know, it might not matter to the Texans and that might not necessarily be baked into the lines right now. I think that the Titans are in a good spot.
I have no feel in this game at all. Like you said, the Chiefs are a factor at 1 o'clock, so that makes it a little risky. I don't have a lean on side or total on this game. That's a stay away from me. As will be the next game, as the Colts go into Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. Indianapolis 3.5-point favorites, coming off just an absolute beating last week. And the total here is 43, Mitch.
Yeah, they should have just flexed it to Thursday night to give us a little AFC South goodbye. This would be the perfect way to do it. The Jags, they're awful. I've been picking against them for weeks now. The Colts, meanwhile, they just show you how hard it is to bet on the NFL and how stupid you have to be to actually do this. 2 weeks ago, they played one of the worst games I've seen all season when they were blown out by the Saints on Monday night in the game when Breeze set the record. And then last week, two punt return touchdowns, great defense, crushed the Panthers. They just looked like two totally different teams. I know, obviously, there's a big difference between
the
Saints
and the
Panthers.
I said they were blown out last week. I was thinking of the Saints game, but 2 weeks ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. This is such a dumb game. At least seeing that, knowing that the Colts last week had that in them, that they're capable of that, I don't know that the Jags are. I don't know. This is a stay away, but if you make me pick one, I would go Colts -3.5.
Gary?
Yeah, I do like the Colts in this one. I think they're still building towards something with what they have here. I mean, it's a team that... You know, they're 5-2 when the quarterback gets hurt, and they end up losing two straight games that they shouldn't have lost. I mean, this is a legitimate like 10 or 11 win team if they don't suffer that rash of injuries. So they're getting some guys back in the lineup. I think they are trying to build something toward next year. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Jacksonville. I don't think Gardner Minshew. While he makes the occasional play, I don't think he's going to pick apart that Colts secondary like some of these other quarterbacks we've seen over the last couple of weeks. But, I lean the Colts here. I think they're a quality team, and I think the other guys are not, I guess is what it comes down to.
Yeah, this is a stay away from me. I have no feel and no opinion on this game at all. I am sure Mitch will have an opinion on the next game as the Eagles go into MetLife to face the Giants. Philly -4.5 as they try to get into the playoffs with a victory. The total is 45. We start with Gary.
Yeah, I guess I'll start by saying I do like the under in this one. It's supposed to be a sloppy weather day in East Rutherford. And I mean, look, these two teams on that Monday night a couple weeks ago played a low-scoring game in the Eli return. And is Zach Ertz going to be in the lineup? Or if he is he going to be anywhere near 100%? I think you see a lot of Miles Sanders on one side, a lot of Saquon Barkley on the other. And this just turns into sort of a low-scoring slop fest, which is probably how the Eagles have to win games at this point anyway. But I will turn it over to Eagles correspondent Mitch Golden.
Yeah, I'm well aware of the sloppy forecast because I've been monitoring tickets on StubHub here, and the rain. I don't know if this makes me a bad fan, but the rain might be the reason that I'm not there on Sunday while I'm thinking about it. So maybe I'm not as as diehard a fan as everyone seems to think. I like the Eagles here, obviously. It's a must-win game, and I know that they played close, but the Eagles have been playing better since then. They do have two more wins since then, including the big one against Dallas. And again, you know, I gave a long rambling monologue last week about why I liked the Eagles against the Cowboys. And some of it was, you know, even if your weapons aren't necessarily getting better, I liked, sometimes it's good when you have a close game like they had against the Giants, like they had against the Redskins, just to build that familiarity with the guys that you do have and just figure out, you know, who can you go to in a big spot. And I do like, they need to get Carson Wentz better weapons next season, obviously. But, I do like what he's done with this team in the last 3 weeks. The Giants, I don't know if last week was their, I don't want to call it their Super Bowl, but they're out celebrating and flip cupping in Hoboken, which is great. I'm not mad about that. I'm not, going to rip Eli for doing that. Good for them. You win a game, you enjoy it. But feels like maybe that was the end of their season. I've said all year, the Eagles defense, the weakness is the secondary, and they're good at stopping the running game. We saw it. They really shut down Zeke last week. So, you know, Saquon Barkley is hard to shut down, and he could easily break off a long one. But I can see the Eagles containing him and making Daniel Jones beat him in the air. So wish the line was under a field goal, but 4.5 is still low enough that Eagles likely getting Jordan Howard back, I think. Maybe not likely, but it looks like a possibility. So, yeah, I think they can win the game by a touchdown.
Yeah, I like the Eagles, too. I think, I'm not going to go crazy about the Giants here. Saquon has played better here towards the end of the season. But the Giants seem to play better, especially offensively, on the road than at home. I did like that over 45 till I heard Gary mention weather. I looked it up. Just as a little afternoon rain. I like the Eagles and the over here. The Giants have to end their season on a loss because Pat Shurmur is so bad of a coach. Like, the Giant fans will actually not be happy if they win this game. I think Doug Peterson is a very, very good coach, and I can't see them losing this game to miss the playoffs. So, again, 4.5. You don't love that line on the road, but, I'm not sure. I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of Eagles fans in that building. I'm not sure home road here matters. I think the Philly fans will invade. So I like the Eagles minus the points there.
Jimmy, I can tell you, I've been monitoring the ticket prices on StubHub, and the prices have gone way up after the Eagles beat the Cowboys. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of Eagles fans who are there. You're 100% right.
Yep. All right, next game. The Raiders still fighting with some crazy chance here to get in the playoffs. If the Steelers and Titans both lose and the Colts win, the Raiders get in with a win at Denver. Broncos, though, a 3.5-point favorite. The total is 41. Mitch.
Yeah, I like the Raiders here. This is one I had to like double check it and make sure that the Broncos were really the favorite.
I literally double checked it before we just did that game.
Yeah, I thought it was a typo. I mean, you've got one team that's alive in the race, and alive, whatever, but technically they are. But even if they don't make it, a win, they finished 8-8, and then they could spend all offseason complaining about the refs in that Jacksonville game and saying that that's the only reason they didn't make the playoffs. And you can see John Gruden beating his chest. We were good enough and they robbed us. And, I think they're going to be fired up for this one to finish 8-8. Josh Jacobs is, I guess he's playing this week. Did you guys see this morning he posted a picture? And the caption, it was a picture of him in the hospital. The caption just says, "Surgery went great. Fastest surgery ever." Which is like, I don't know if that's a good thing to see from your players or not. But really funny. Denver, they have nothing to play for here. Pride, and they're playing a rival, and they're in front of their home fans and everything. I don't know. They beat the Lions last week. Good for them. I sort of just think that they deserve to finish 6-10 and would be fine seeing them lose this game and finish with that record. I think everything points to Oakland at least covering a 3.5 spread here.
Good for them, and good for a parlay that I hit that had the Broncos in it. Gary?
Good for you.
Yeah, I was going to say that Josh Jacobs injury, I guess, is just an infection, not an actual like muscular or bone or ligament injury or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the Broncos in this one just because I do think – I always lean toward that mile high home field advantage. The Raiders are just, I can't believe they have a chance to not only make the playoffs, but even finish 500 when they are a minus 105 point differential on the year, which is just, I mean, that's like, I don't have the ranking in front of me, but that's got to be, it's not top 25 in the league. I'll say that much for sure. But again, two teams, I don't know. Good luck figuring it out. I'll give a slight Broncos lean just because they have the defense. And I do think this is a game where maybe Drew Locke can open it up a little bit and get something against what's not a very good Raiders secondary.
Perfect segue. It's almost like you knew what I was about to say. Love the over in this game. I think this is a game where Drew Locke will be able to do some damage. And I think the Raiders will score points here. Season on the line, crazy things happen, and it usually means high-scoring games. So, and it's only 41, so I know the Bronco defense has been decent, but Gruden there will pretty much empty it all out to get to sort of save their season here if there's any hope. So I do like the over 41 a lot in that game. Last game at 4:25 on Sunday, the Rams 7.5-point favorites at home to the Arizona Cardinals. Total is 49, Gary.
Yeah, this one's tough to figure out at this point in the week just because you don't know if Kyler is going to play with a hamstring injury. And look, if he is limited mobility-wise, I know he's practicing a little bit this week, but if he's limited mobility-wise, he's a different quarterback. I do kind of like the Rams just to finish the season in style. I mean, I realized they were still in it last week when they lost in Santa Clara, but what you saw was a team that just they have a coach who can solve problems. This is a division rival that they stomped down in Arizona earlier in the year. And you know, this is one of the teams that they're just, they don't have that problematic matchup against them. I know the Cardinals have Chandler Jones, but they don't have a whole lot else on that pass rush at this point. And you know, if the Rams had an outside shot at the playoffs like they did a week ago, I'd say they're going to win this one by 2 or 3 touchdowns. But I do still think they win this one pretty comfortably.
Mitch?
Yeah, I think I agree with you on a lot of that, Gary. I was totally blindsided by the Cardinals last week. You know, I've been high on Seattle all year, and that was just a total shock to me how that game unfolded. And sometimes that's like, you know, gives a team momentum. Sometimes it's just like you wonder how a team comes back from that, especially if Kyler doesn't play or if he's limited, like you said. It just feels like if this was in the middle of the season, we'd call it a letdown game or a trap game or whatever. And I just think it's going to be tough for them to repeat that again. For the Rams, you know, Gary, everything you said about Sean McVay and them, and I think they're going to be fired up and motivated here. It's their last game ever at the Coliseum, and then they move into the new stadium next year, so I could see them getting up for that. I don't know how much that actually matters or if anyone even cares about playing in that historic venue. I know the Chargers players and fans are, well, I don't know, fans. The Chargers players are really excited to get out of the StubHub Farmers Insurance whatever stadium and or health clinic. I don't, you know what I'm talking about. Move into the new the new stadium. So, you know, yeah, let's lead with the Rams. 15th game, week 17. I'm out of steam here. Not much else to say. Go Rams.
I love the Cardinals here if Murray plays. Now, I think he's going to play, which it makes no sense for him to play. Like, the game means nothing for Arizona. Why would you even attempt to play him? But he wants to play. Cardinals are hot, coming off those wins at the Browns, wins against the Browns in Seattle. They were one of my best bets last week. They want to finish the season strong here. You got the first-year coach, rookie quarterback. Their offense is really coming together nicely. Kenyon Drake has been a great addition. And the Rams are playing for absolutely nothing. Even if the Rams weren't, I like the 7.5. But the fact that the Rams aren't even playing for anything, I like Arizona a lot here, plus 7.5. In that last 425 game.
It'll be interesting to see how many carries they give Todd Gurley in a game that literally means nothing, right? Just from an off-season narrative standpoint, that's going to be something everyone wants to talk about, so that'll be interesting to see.
Chandler Jones is going to – I think Jared Goff's going to be having nightmares of Chandler Jones. I love the 7.5 there. I think the Cardinals win it outright. All right. Final game of the season, regular season, Sunday night, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, NFC West on the line. Niners, 3-point favorites in Seattle. Total 47, Mitch.
Yeah, so tough one, obviously. Two good teams. For a month, and I've been saying this every week, I've thought the Seahawks were as good as anyone in the NFC. And I would have seen myself picking them in this game, but they had so many injuries. I don't think anyone had as bad a week as they did last week. Again, I already talked about that disappointing loss to the Cardinals. But then losing Chris Carson and Dwayne Brown and somebody else. Did they have a third? Well, CJ Procise is hurt now too. And, you know, they're bringing back Marshawn Lynch, but, 49ers, meanwhile, they're banged up on defense. And that's been a concern for me. Their defense just hasn't been as good. I mean, they were so dominant early in the season, middle of the season. The NFC really is wide open. I think the Saints are the only team that I like as much as I did a month ago. So given how the game last week went and the injury news, it's kind of like my heart says Seattle here and my head says San Francisco. So I'm wrestling with that. I don't know. It's fun to imagine Marshawn Lynch just running for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. But you know, as much as I want to pick Seattle, the smart bet is probably San Francisco. And so I think just given the injuries that they had, and you know, the patchwork backfield that they're going to have, and you know that they're going to want to run the ball. I think I lean Niners.
Gary?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been shaking Mitch violently, trying to talk sense into him when it comes to the Seahawks. Again, look, no Dwayne Brown in this one, so now you got a shorthanded offensive line against this 49ers pass rush. On top of that, you know, we still think of the Seahawks having this big home field advantage, and I think there is still an advantage, more so than a lot of places in that stadium. But you look at what they've done in 7 home games. They're 4-3. Those four wins were by a point over the Bengals, a Thursday night win over the Rams that they won on a on Greg Zuerlein choking on that field goal. They beat the Bucs in overtime, and then they beat the Vikings on that Monday night. And who doesn't beat Kirk Cousins on a Monday night? So, you know, they've been blown out by the Ravens at home, by the Cardinals at home, and by the Teddy Bridgewater Saints at home. And again, I'm not gonna rehash the same thing about turnover luck and red zone outlier numbers with this team and the fact that they have a plus 12 point differential and somehow have 11 wins on the season at this point. But even fully healthy, they are not in the same class as the 49ers. You know, they went out to Santa Clara against the Niners, who were playing, you know, with no George Kittle. Emmanuel Sanders went down mid-game. That was probably the worst game the 49ers played all season, and they were still just a rookie kicker shanking a overtime field goal away from winning it. I just think the 49ers are going to completely outclass them up in Seattle in this one, and because I said that, that's probably why the Seahawks are about to run off four straight wins and win the Super Bowl.
Gary, I think, Gary, if you were not on the podcast, I would have picked the Seahawks. But the violent shaking has finally got everything you said. I don't care. I could still see Seattle in the Super Bowl. It just wouldn't surprise me at all. But I bet with my head here. So,
well, good thing we're on the last game, because the lawnmower is going next door at my neighbor's house. So we're going to wrap this up quickly. I'll just say this: I don't have a lean on a side. I wouldn't be surprised if either team won this game. I do think the Niners are better. But the Niners' defense really has sprung a leak late in the season, you know, giving up 31 last week to the Rams. They gave up 44 in that game to the Cowboys. No, I'm sorry. That was not the Niners. That's a wrong game. They gave up 29 to the Falcons. I'm sorry. That was what I meant. And the defense that the Niners had going early in the season has not been the same. So I like the over 47 in this game. I think both teams will score here. All right, that wraps up week 17. 8 1 o'clock games and 7 4 o'clock games. First time all season you have that balance. So now we get to the best bets portion of the show to wrap it up. Gary, what do you got?
Only two best bets. A little bit of cowardice to wrap up 2019 here. I'll go Saints minus 13 at Carolina. And I'm going to take the under in that Eagles-Giants game, under 45.
All right, Mitch?
Gary, what a coward. He jumps me and gets to first place in the season standings, and then this is what he does. Pick a third game. Come on.
No more best bets.
Wow. All right. Well, I assume we're going to keep doing this in the playoffs, so this is the final standings are not going to be determined here.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right,
definitely.
Let's get nuts. I've got five games for you. I'm going to take that Chiefs minus 8.5 against the Chargers. The Steelers minus 2.5 at the resting Ravens. That Redskins plus 11 against Dallas. And the Eagles minus 4.5 at the Giants. So that tells you how I feel about the NFC East here. And then I wasn't going to do it, but I feel like I should. I can't believe I'm going to pick the Raiders here. But give me the Raiders plus 3.5 in that game against Denver.
Gary only gave you two. I'll give you seven to make up for Gary.
Here we go.
Seven. Saints minus 13, blowing out the Panthers. Packers minus 12.5 at home. Chiefs minus 8.5 against the Chargers. Ravens plus 2.5 against the Steelers. Redskins plus 11 at Dallas. Over 41, Raiders and Broncos. Arizona Cardinals plus 7.5 against the Rams. So, there we go. 2-5-7 to wrap up the season here in week 17. We will be back for the playoffs next week to break it all down. And that wraps up the last regular season week of the season. So happy new year to everybody out there. We will be back on Friday. Enjoy the final week. And that wraps up this edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Take care.